everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Engage Family Gaming Podcast. My name is Steven Dutzman. I am your host. And it is August 22nd, 2023. I had to look at the calendar because I don't know what any of this is. So, hi, guys.
Hi.
It's been a minute since it was just the three of us.
I know. It has been. How wild is this? So, for those of you playing the home game, I am joined today by only two of my four usual crew. Jeff and John are not feeling well, so they're actually taking the night off. So it's me, and up this way is the Mistress of Magnificence, otherwise known as Mom, Linda Roble, the executive editor of board games for Engage Family Gaming. And to my this way is my very best friend in the whole wide world, Amanda Farrow, the Princess of Power. And we are here to talk about like all sorts of news. We missed, you know, like we didn't miss a week, but it feels like we did because a lot of stuff has happened, and I'm pretty excited about it. So let me just check our. Let me just check and see and make sure that like we're live and stuff.
It seems like we're live.
We are.
Stream that I've got on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, good. Because it.
I don't know, but the audio, because I have it off, so it doesn't. We don't have to hear it, but at least the video is working.
Well, I know the audio is working. And that's okay. So, yeah. Oh, hey, thanks, Ready Player Mama, for resubscribing. It's almost 28 months. That means I've been doing this for 28 months is what it tells us, because you were like numero uno. I mean, maybe Mega Mom beat you, but probably not.
I was in here.
You were in there working. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about, but the first thing I want to do is just do some housekeeping. The biggest one, and I think this is probably one of the most important things, is Engage Family Gaming has another issue of our magazine. And I think that so let me go ahead and share some of that, because the magazine, let's be really honest, is a it's really good. Right? And
it is. We worked really hard on it.
Yeah, we really did. Good. We worked super hard, and it's only getting, what's wild is it really is only getting better. And so I definitely encourage, I'm throwing the link into the chat. I encourage everybody to take a look at it. Because we are, you know, we're going to be having interviews and all sorts of other stuff. So definitely take a look at the magazine as we go. Also, we just hit episode 10 of the Coils of Destiny Dungeons and Dragons live play, starring the three of us and two of our other friends. And three of our other friends, actually. And we have just hit our stride. I actually had somebody in another game that I play make a reference to Coils of Destiny unprompted. He begged me not to be a brigand. He said, please don't be a brigand. And I was like, that's a reference. I understood that reference. And it completely caught me off guard. And he was asking me all sorts of questions about the lore and how long we're going to go and all this stuff. And I was like, listen, we're going to keep going until the wheels fall off.
Sounds like us.
Definitely take a look at that. It's all on YouTube. And we're going to be making some updates to the way things are published, because I have some new technology to help me get that done. Housekeeping aside, the other thing that we want to do every time we podcast is... I feel like a lot of the video game and board game space is just totally attacked by negativity at all times, because it seems like there's a lot of folks that just can't enjoy things or refuse to enjoy things. And I am, I'm not going to be like that. We're not going to be like that. Engage Family Gaming is about hype and positivity. So every week, everybody on this show has to come forth with something they are unironically and genuinely excited about. Preferably about gaming.
I don't know how to be ironically excited.
Well,
does that make me a bad millennial?
No. What it means is, it means that this particular exercise will be very easy for you. What it means is, I gave you homework that isn't hard. Well done.
Yeah.
So it, ideally it'd be about games, but I think it can be about anything. So we're going to start with Linda. Linda, what are you unironically excited and or happy about?
So it's not a game, unfortunately, because
that's okay.
In full back to school mode. I have been spending the last 2 weeks resetting my classroom because June is always insane. I finally finished putting away the things that were left out in June.
Oh.
But I guess, yeah, it only took 4 days.
Fine.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine here.
It's reset. My name tags are printed. All the cutesy labels with the kids' names are all printed. And I have a lights, the remote control, like light tape that I bought like a year and a half ago. And I finally hung it around my front board because I've been wanting to do that. And I made time today and I got my lights up. So I have like remote control lights now.
That's
so
very
I'm
exciting.
Actually really about lights.
Listen, you know what? I think it's very, I mean, cool lighting is awesome. And I think that it is perfectly okay and awesome to be excited about lights. It's something that you needed, you know, you didn't have time before. And so now you had the time to do it. And that is, I think, that is good news. Amanda, you're next. What are you unironically excited and or happy about?
Well, mine in the world is of always to do with games. Almost always to do with games. First of all, I rolled credits on Final Fantasy 16. Which
congratulations.
Very exciting. 65 hours later, 98% of the side quests.
Wow.
I had a blast with this game. I really did. And for a Final Fantasy game, let me tell you, not very long. Very long. I easily put double into that when I played the last time I rolled credits on a game, which was Final Fantasy X-2. Don't judge me.
This is unironic excitement and positivity.
Unironic excitement.
Also, I really liked that Final Fantasy X-2. I'll tell you a fun story about Final Fantasy X-2 later.
Love that. So that's number one. Two, I started my new job, which is my very first job working in a studio in the game industry. I now work at Hackjack Studios on Pigeon Simulator, which is an absolutely mad game made by the most incredible misfits you'll ever meet in the game industry. I already love this team. I'd take a bullet for them, I swear. I'm already having a blast. So I'm
Of almost back-to-back meetings.
Two days of back-to-back meetings. I'm exhausted. But man, it's been good.
You know what? I mean, that sounds like good news to me. So yeah. I certainly appreciate that. So here's what I'm really excited about. Freaking video games, man. The rest of this year, last week, Amanda, we like literally went through the rest of the calendar. And I went through Blessing's weird, fun game list that he puts on Twitter, and the formatting is bad and all that. Like, that's his whole bit. And so I went through his thing because it is also, like, really complete. And so I went through the whole thing, and we went through and we were like, yo, look at all these games. And Linda, I mean, it was an astonishing amount of games. We went through this. Really Linda was like, wow, where are people going to find the time? And
that's a very good question.
And I can't, well, here's, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to find the time, but what I
cherry pitch what you're going
to
play.
I came back. Yeah. We're just going to have to make meaningful decisions. Choosing the games that we play for the rest of the year is in fact a meta game. But what I came away with and what has been striking me for the last 2 weeks is just freaking video games, man. Like, the reality is, it is not very often that you come across a year like this one. And I really am starting to believe, especially if Starfield and Spider-Man hit the way that they're supposed to. And with the hidden potential of, like, what if Assassin's Creed Mirage does what it's supposed to do and comes back and does things? And, like, there's a random, like, Avatar Pandora game coming out at the end of the year that could also be not bad, which could be not bad, because the reality is, like, it could come out and be like an 8, and you know what? That's like Far Cry on Pandora. Like, that could rule. Also, that's my mom's game of the year. The game didn't even come out yet. So, like, I am, like, looking through all this stuff, and I'm just like, this is an historic year. That
last time we had a year like this was 2017 when the Switch came out.
Yeah. And
when we got Horizon, when we got Zelda, and we got Zelda this year too. Maybe Zelda's the linchpin.
Maybe. Perhaps. I mean, maybe. But here's what's wild is I think this year's probably going to be better than that one.
No, I agree. But I'm saying the last time that we had a banger year, it was 2017.
Yeah.
Maybe exactly. 2018 was really amazing too. But since then, it's been like there have been some good games, been some great games along the way, but nothing like banger after banger after banger.
This is a year we're going to be talking about for decades. Possibly because we're still going to be playing the games. Also, all of this, we made it most of the way through the year talking about all these things we're excited about, whatever. And then Baldur's Gate comes out and it's like, hey, by the way.
Yo, hold my Monster Energy
drink. Hold my Monster Energy drink. We're just going to go crazy. So I think everybody, let's just hold our hats for the rest of this year. The fact that October 20th, we have to decide between Spider-Man 2 and Super Mario Brothers Wonder is...
Yeah, that's not fair.
Madness. We're going to ask the community what they're going to choose. We're going to figure all that out. But freaking video games, that's what I'm excited about. This year is historic, and I am living in it, and I'm making content through it, and I love everything about it. Obviously, we're gonna have to make a magazine next year where we talk about this past year as like the game of the forever, because I think it'll be worth it. Maybe that'll be the one we make an actual print magazine. Because we've been talking about that. Turns out, not nearly as expensive as you think. If you're willing to lose money on it. So,
it's that part.
Well, I mean, it'd be what it'd be. So, and you know what, everybody? This is an historic year. Video games are awesome. And that is also good news. Amanda.
Yep.
Couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. I came to visit you.
You did.
And we went to New York.
We did.
And
took the train and everything.
We did. We took the train. There was a Yankees game while we were trying to leave, and it made it real crazy. That made it a little nuts. But we went to play NYC. We did. And it was, it was definitely good news. We had a lot of fun. This was a nice, small show. Tell me, Amanda, I could talk for hours on this. I want to know, give us a rundown. What was your opinion? What is Play NYC, and what was your thoughts on our experience there together?
So this was my third Play NYC. I've been going for a number of years now. And what I love about Play NYC is that it is dedicated to indie developers. And not just indie video game developers. These are indie tabletop developers. These are students that are coming out of NYU Game Center, which is one of the top schools in the country, potentially the continent, for video game design. And everybody was excited to talk about their games, to talk about their experiences as developers, as players, because a number of the developers were also wandering around. You know, you saw a lot of industry badges just kind of floating and checking stuff out. And it was really cool. And that New York City camaraderie was like very, very high. It's a really, really tight-knit development community in New York City.
Yeah. It really is. That was one thing that I didn't expect. Linda, we went into this room and it was, you know what? This was not much bigger than like what you would, the hall itself was not much bigger than like a big wedding hall, right? Like it was a big room, very creatively divided up with, you know, like the cloth walls, you know, that kind of stuff. But it was packed with people who were just stoked.
Oh, yeah.
Just everybody was looking at stuff. Booth neighbors were talking to each other. I mean, I crashed into discussions all the time where people were working, you know, were talking about the games they were working on. It was awesome.
It was very cool.
Sounds like a great environment.
It was great. Yeah. It absolutely was. You know who else was, you know who was there, Linda? Remember the, I forget the name of the game, the guy from CT Fig with the board games, with the cannons, and he wore the from the Age of Sail. I forget the name of the game.
My cousin actually backed his game. Clear the Decks
was there, and I recognize that guy. Yes. I don't think you recognize me, but it's okay. He hasn't seen me since before the pandemic. I'm shaped differently now. So The so it is a it was so cool just walking around, and I think, you know, both Amanda and I, it's fun fact, we like different kinds of games sometimes.
It's true. Really?
There's some overlap. There's some overlap. Final Fantasy 16, for example. But Amanda, like, you found some of your, some, like, I kept walking by, like, I have the notes here in my little second brain here.
I'm glad that you did them, because I forgot to process my notes entirely.
Well, that's okay. That's fine. So, I think the one that we spent the most time with, was a game called Hiboka, which was a, it's a horror game.
Oh, right. It was horror game I was playing.
That was set in, Madagascar.
Mm-hmm. It was based on Madagascar folklore.
Excuse me. Yes. So, and I asked this guy while Amanda was playing, because I don't play horror games. So I got to talk to this guy. I was lucky enough to get to have like a real conversation with him. And this team of five people has been putting together this game for a couple of years, which is very impressive considering what they were able to put forward. And he said that this was all based on, exactly, stories from his grandmother in his childhood. And he was bringing together a team that was like his wife and, you know, somebody from Japan, because they can work remote, and all sorts of awesome collaborative tools.
It was a Canadian studio.
Yeah,
though.
Canadian studio.
It was cool.
And it was a really neat, kind of very creepy vibe of, you know, you're kind of in a haunted mansion in Madagascar doing haunted mansion stuff, solving puzzles. Very neat. Amanda played through that demo. That was the one criticism I had, is that the demos at this place were a little bit longer than we're used to.
They were.
But I think we're just kind of used to PAX where they want you in and out, whereas here it was like a little more laid back.
5-10 minutes is normally what I like. I'm used to something taking potentially upwards of 15 and 20, but these were 30-minute demos.
Wow.
And 30-minute demos are incredible. Like, they are such a good way to show off the vertical slice of your game, so you can get a good idea of what the systems are like, what the story's like, what the vibe is like. But the problem is that when you're at a small event in a small space with lots of people, you got to keep it moving.
Yeah, right. There were definitely a couple of games that I wanted to play that I couldn't because the line was just, you know, it was a half hour demo and there was a 2-deep line. And at PAX, I'd have waited through a 10-person line because it just fires through even at smaller demos. But you know what?
Yo.
This is picking nits. At the end of the day, you know, it was a great experience. So that was Hiboka. And I, you know, really super cool. Obviously it's a horror game, but I think a lot of it was kind of abstracted. Like, this really looked like a GameCube game to me. So it's not like we're dealing with ultra realistic, you know, the horror here, most of it is from the vibes. So I think when this comes out next, big time creepy. I think when this comes out on Steam, we'll probably be talking more about this. You know, I we'll find out. I mean, there was like some zombie stuff in it, but they were like very stylized, specific zombies. I'm thinking
it looked like wraiths, you
know. Yeah,
I think
exactly.
Like wraiths from folklore, where they were definitely not hyper realistic. It was nothing like even the ring wraiths from the Lord of the Rings movies, right? They didn't have that foreboding vibe or that dread vibe. It was just like, this is creepy.
Yeah.
And the scary part of it was the fact that you had to survive this. You had a limited amount of bullets and you had to like get past these damn wraiths because you got to get back upstairs to go talk to your folks. And it was honestly a well-crafted demo. I really enjoyed it and I want to get more of that flavor.
Yeah. You're going to, obviously, because, you know, it's going to come out. She wishlisted it already. The next thing, Linda, I think we found your kids' next favorite game, because we do know they like to build dumb things and do dumb things together. Yeah. One of the games that we saw was Hometopia. Now, Hometopia, this is the elevator pitch. I couldn't play the game for a little bit because there was, you know, a queue. So I asked the guy who's publishing the game, what is this thing? And this is what he said. He's like, listen, imagine the house building minigame from The Sims, where you're building a house and placing furniture and lights and like really kind of going all in on it. But it's multiplayer. Meaning you can cooperate or the opposite of cooperation.
Oh, is this like that passive aggressive game that you thought I should play the board game?
Where you're like no. That's different. That's a little bit. I mean, I think it may feel similar to that, but no, that one was
sounds similar.
That really. I don't know if you would like that game. That was really just me wanting to make a passive aggressive joke.
I mean, that's fair.
But here,
for 20 years.
I
acknowledge.
So it's a first person, you know, you kind of play it like Minecraft.
Yep.
And, you're building a house and there's all sorts of, you know, things that you're unlocking there. It's going to be a free to play game. And it looked really cool. This is going to be coming out in September. So we're going to know when it comes out. Amanda and I both thought that this would make an awesome game to like make some video content about or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, because it is absolutely family friendly because you're just, there's no bodies, there's no people, you're just building houses and stuff. Building. So
yeah,
big fan of that. So that is home.
Yeah, I think my oldest especially would like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And they could play together theoretically. So I want to talk a little bit about Tech Fall Supreme.
Oh man. Yeah, you do.
Linda.
Oh no. What'd you find?
Long-time fans of the show and longtime friends of me will know that I wrestled in high school. You know that, right? Well, right, Linda, you know that, right? I've told you these stories. Okay, good. I panicked momentarily.
Back in the day.
Yeah, listen, I panicked when I was like, everyone knows this. I was like, wait, does Linda know this?
See, I didn't know this. Steve and I didn't know friends for years. But
you didn't know this
that.
Until I told you. Like,
well, yeah.
It just didn't come up until someone made a college wrestling game.
All right, take us through it.
And so it's at the end of the day, it is what it is. They made it a college wrestling game and there's college licenses in it. So I played as a wrestler from Syracuse wrestling against a guy from like Iowa State or whatever. It is not fully implemented. This was a demo. It didn't have like, you know, it didn't have a lot of the mechanics. This was very clearly like a simple demo meant to kind of show that this existed. What was really funny about it is, like, the people who were demoing the game were two dudes who were very clearly college wrestlers. Like, they were wrestlers. We had the cauliflower ears. We had, like, the we do combat sports looking guys. And then we had, like, a couple of dudes who were, not dudes who did combat sports, if you know what I mean. And I was like, so how did you guys hook up? And they're like, well, these guys wanted to make the game, but they couldn't because they didn't know how. So they found me and now I'm making it. And I'm like, did you have any idea how to do any of this stuff until they told you? It's like, no, they told us all the rules while we were designing the game. And so he's like, well, now I know. And I'm like, are you going to wrestle now? And he's like, not them. And you know what I said to that? Man. I said, fair enough. I wasn't going to wrestle them either. So this is going to come to Steam, and they're going to add more mechanics. The next layer is they're going to add a little bit more in with, like, some takedowns and stuff like that. This was a lot of, like, stand-up to, like, reversals and, like, you know, stuff like that. But what was really interesting is it's, you know, like, I was wrestling somebody on a wrestling mat in the middle of Times Square. And they had, like, so they're, like, adding in some, like, kind of cheeky elements to try and make it so that it's not like just a straight up simulation. Like, check out this gymnasium that looks the same as all the other ones. I was very excited from the moment I saw it. Amanda can confirm, from the moment I saw it, I was like, I need to play this game. I need to play this game.
True. Of course you did.
And I did, eventually. I mean, I took my time. What I didn't want to do was just drag Amanda around. Like, I mean, I didn't want to, like, torment her and make her do all the stuff I wanted her to do first. I know, but I was trying to be a good...
You traded off, man. It was awesome.
I know. I was trying to be a good convention companion. And I think it did great.
I appreciate that.
Amanda and I work very well together. Who's surprised by that? So, all right. So, next thing. There was a game, actually, that was a Kickstarter board game, Linda, that we
explored.
The two of us explicitly were like, we need to make sure we tell Linda about this when we do this on the podcast. So this is a board game called Bouquets.
Bouquets. Okay.
Yes. So there is a there's actually an app for the game right now. It is a tile laying game giving big time like Mahjong vibes. But what you're doing is you're putting down these little square tiles, basically like Scrabble tiles, that have different numbers, almost like dominoes, of like different patterns and colors of different kinds of flowers. And you are making some combos and trying to earn points by putting these tiles down. There's an iOS app that is a demo of the game right now. It's not fully featured, but it's really meant to be just a demo. Right. The moment we saw it, we were like, this is a Linda game. Like, the whole time we were there, we were, like, thinking about the game, and we were like, whose BS is this? And I was like, one of the notes for one of the games, all it says is, this is Amanda's BS.
It's true.
Literally, we'll get to that in a moment. It was like, this is Amanda's game. It's all about Amanda. And this one, we just thought of you. And like I said, it's called Bouquets. Thanks. And it was made by a school teacher.
It really is awesome.
And when we told him that our board game editor was also a school teacher, he like started to get into like educational concepts and stuff that like went right over me and Amanda's head. And we were like, both of us, he started, right? Like he like revved up and with the punch and he whiffed.
And he went, oh, they don't know the lingo.
Yeah, and then we were like, oh, it's so pretty. And he was like, oh, yeah, okay, they don't get it. Okay, well, he immediately was like, man, I wish Linda was here. There was not a lot for you, so I'm glad that I didn't drag you into New York. I'm sure you would have had a good day in New York.
Right.
But
hopefully we'll be going in another month and a half or so.
Yes, well, that'll be different. I mean, you will definitely...
Not with me or not.
Yeah, that'll be a different trip.
That is a different
trip. I'm just rotating through staff members, going to New York. But we could come visit you, though, Amanda.
This is very true.
I mean, I think we are visiting you.
My dog was being weird.
I think we are visiting you. So we'll see you.
You are. It's true.
We'll compare notes in the evening.
That sounds awesome.
So, let's see. I'm just looking through the rest of my notes. You know what? There was another game. So, I'm looking through the notes here. You know what? There was a mobile game that actually was kind of cute that they grabbed me and showed me. You remember Claw Arena, Amanda?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Linda, listen
to
this.
That was some nonsense.
This is a free-to-play action role-playing game that you can play, and it's designed to be played with one hand while you're holding on in the subway. And it's a bunch of like cute little critters. This is coming out very soon. It's got all the standard free-to-play stuff. So, like, this is not, like... I mean, I don't think this is going to blow the roof off the doors anywhere. You know what I mean? Right. But, like, the bear is a wrestler. And, like, he could tell... He overheard me making a wrestling reference to Amanda. Which, for the record, me making wrestling references to Amanda, I may as well be speaking another language. But I can't help it. And he overheard it, and he was also one of my people. So he was like, oh, I understand you like wrestling. And the bear, all of his costumes are wrestling references.
Oh, my goodness.
But they're legally distinct wrestling references.
Hey, bro, I heard you like wrestling, so I put some wrestling in your wrestling.
And he's like, yeah, check it out. There's this bear wrestler, and you can dress him up as The Undertaker. But he's not called The Undertaker. He's called The Dead Guy. but he's wearing the hat and a black trench coat and has purple eyes. So, like, obviously he's the Undertaker, etc. So we're going to talk more about this one because I am very interested in a game I can play with one hand while I am, you know, carrying my lunch back from the cafeteria, etc., where I get to be a wrestler that's the Undertaker. A wrestling bear that is the Undertaker. Other than that, it was just a small show. We really didn't see a ton of other stuff, but I think it was a success. I think. What do you think, Amanda?
I mean, for us. Yeah. Absolutely.
I enjoyed it, and I can't wait to go back next year. I mean, it was a great day.
It's gonna be very, very cool.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're gonna make sure that we go there. Yeah, we'll get in its press. Maybe we'll have a little bit of different access. But I want to go back to that restaurant we went to.
Oh yeah, the Gray Dog. Yeah, went to this great.
Like, because I had let me tell you, Linda, I had a fish taco. I do love me a fish taco. People don't think I like fish tacos. The only complaint I had is it had a mango salsa on it, and there was so much mango in it, it was basically a fruit salad on my taco, and you would think that would be bad, but you know what? It was actually quite good. We'll definitely have to go back there. So that is Play NYC. The next bit of news, and this is a quick one to talk about, and I think it's relevant. It was yesterday that Nintendo announced that Charles Martinet is stepping back from his role as Mario. He'll be a Mario ambassador, so he's going to be doing appearances and some other Mario-related stuff, which I'm sure we'll find out down the line, like when he does it. But did you guys know, I didn't realize this, Charles Martinet has been the voice of Mario since since Super Mario 64.
Yeah.
Which came out when I was like 12 or something. Like, he's been doing this a long freaking time. Well, what year was it?
Hold on, I'll tell you. I got you.
No, maybe I was older than 12. Maybe I was like 14.
It was 1996.
It was 1996? Oh, I was 16. Never mind.
Right. I mean, you were 10. Young, but not that.
Long time ago. Meaning,
listen, I know I'm baby around here, but I was 10.
Oh man, 96. I graduated high school. I was 18.
You graduated in 96?
Yeah.
I thought you were my age.
No, I'm in between you and your wife.
Oh yeah, this is weird. You'd be amazed how little I actually remember on a day to day basis, Amanda. She just made a face at me, everybody. All the audio listeners, Amanda made a face at me. Like, how could you not remember? At a certain point, everyone is the same age, except for Amanda, because she's way younger.
You another look.
I don't mean that in an infantilizing you way. I mean it in the opposite way, in that I am aging myself up. But here I am running.
Honestly, it's because I'm personally ageless.
Well, that
that's
is
how
true.
I look at it, because I'm a not-so-secret vampire. It's there fine. You go. Don't tell anyone. Let's not break any masquerade rules tonight.
Yeah, you just broke the masquerade.
Damn it.
I mean,
that's
like,
okay. I'll glamour you all later. Don't worry about it.
I have only done vampire LARP once. Wait, let's take a... Have I told you about my adventures in vampire LARPing?
You have not, and I will require you to tell me after this show.
No, I'm going
to
tell you right now. So,
oh man, we get it live?
We're getting this live. So, so here's the thing. The thing about Vampire the Masquerade is that you're supposed to be able to do this LARP in public, because the whole point is that vampires are supposed to be among us and they're not supposed to reveal themselves to people. That's like the whole shtick. That's why the fiction works. And I was told this, like, hey, we're going to play this at a student union while classes are in session. There will be non-LARPers there. Now, I LARP at 4-H camps, YMCA camps, private property. I do not LARP in public. I don't want to roll like that. So this guy was like, hey, it's fine. Just come in. It's Vampire the Masquerade. You know we're not going to do vampire stuff in the middle of the thing.
Famous last words.
Yes. So I'll tell you who told me those words when we're off air, and you'll understand everything that I'm saying because you know this person.
I can make guesses already.
Yeah, it's not complicated. So, game starts and things are going normal. And then we go on like a thing. There's going to be an encounter. It's going to be up in the Taco Bell. Because that's what we be in. And, you know, I go up there and we start like a fight breaks out. And I was like, all right, it's cool. I understand combat. We're just supposed to play rock, paper, scissors. We're supposed to like keep it kind of on the down low. No. Homie runs into the room and jumps up on a table holding an index card like a gun and starts pointing it at people. And then another guy pretends to throw another guy out a window by moving him towards the window and making like he was going to throw him out the window, but like stopping. I was like, I'm out. I finished that encounter. I went to another one where they took over like a hallway and it was a bunch of people that were very clearly in costumes. And that was not what I thought was going to happen. And it was, and there were people walking through and it was very weird. And I had to go home suddenly. And I will play the Vampire Masquerade tabletop game. I think that can be cool. I like that. But man, I was never going to LARP that again.
I've never LARPed BTM. I've only played it as a tabletop role playing game
or a video game. Cause you have done those.
Bloodlines.
So yeah, it was a harrowing experience because like I was in, like there were like legit normal non LARPing people there wondering what we were doing.
Well, yeah.
And I was like, whoa. Anyway. So, back to this. So Charles Martinet, he stepped back. What do we think? What was your, I mean, Amanda, tell me your story about when you saw the announcement. Cause actually I think
he died. I honestly did. I read it and I had to look at it again. I'm like, what? What do you mean? Oh, okay. Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, he's dude quit. Dead. He quit.
No, he's done. He's moving on. He has been the voice of Mario for such a long time, like almost 30 years at this point. He's been the voice of Mario.
That is
so
true.
So he deserves a rest. So he's going to be a brand ambassador. So I was just like, you know what, dude? You're rad. Rest. Enjoy. Enjoy the time. Because you deserve it.
Yeah.
Voice of Mario, man.
I agree too. Listen, I saw the announcement and the worst part is I found it on Facebook where someone said RIP.
Oh no.
So I saw it and I was like, oh no. And then I was like, oh, they're just saying RIP like whatever. It was probably a Chris Pratt thing. I get it. But it was like, no. He quit. He is not we don't have to worry about like tragedy. This is business. And man has been doing this a long time. He can get a break. Linda, did you know who he was when you saw my because you saw my Facebook reel.
I had to go Google it because I was like, I had to do some looking up.
But now you know, you've heard this guy.
Now I know.
You've heard this guy.
Oh, yeah. I've heard him. I just didn't know who the voice actor was.
And I did get a comment on my reel, which by the way, if you go to the Facebook page, the Engage Family Gaming Facebook page, I'm actually I just started to produce reels. There's going to be a new one every day talking about news and various other things. So keep your eye out on that. But I got a comment on it from This Toy Life, which is a toy store nearby me, who's run by a guy I used to work with. And he said that he's worried about Mario being like a flat sound-alike that's like Kermit. And because Kermit sounds really bad. And tell me if I'm crazy about this, guys. Like, Mario in the games doesn't deliver lines. He just emotes.
He does grunts for the most part and sometimes barks.
Yeah.
Neither of which are full lines.
Yeah. Whereas Kermit, like, has to deliver, like, lines. Like, he has to say, that's and sometimes correct. Profound and stuff. And sing.
Yes.
Yeah, much more complicated.
So I'm like not as worried. Like I think just a sound alike is probably going to be okay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder why they don't just reuse Charles Martinet forever. Like, how many new things do they need?
I mean, I feel like
I mean, pay him.
It really depends. Yeah, as long as they pay him, like that's what matters to me is that he's paid.
Right.
You know, for his residuals.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know his contract. I can't pretend to know. But like my thought is like they got to have enough audio of him over the last 30 years. But so that is just an interesting little tidbit. Let's lighten it up a little bit. Who wants to talk about My Little Pony and Transformers?
Oh heck yeah, let's go.
So I'm gonna do a little share of my screen. And I'm gonna share this to you guys, because what we're gonna do.
Yay! It's working on the feed.
Is I'm gonna share this screen with you guys, so you guys get to see it, but the audience gets to see just my main feed. So there is a My Little Pony deck game. It comes from Renegade Game Studios. Renegade Game Studios, they're really big on Hasbro licenses right now. They've got My Little Pony, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Power Rangers. They're crossing them over all over the place. And right now, the current crossover expansion for My Little Pony is Transformers Collision Course, which I'm not gonna lie, I'm pretty hype about the name in and of itself. Now, one of the things they revealed is that each member of the main six plus Spike was gonna be teamed up with a Transformer, be it an Autobot or a Decepticon.
That's really neat.
And so they revealed the pairings earlier, but we didn't see the cards. And now we have the cards. So I'm going to reveal them right here on the stream for our fans. So first, Rainbow Dash is teamed up with Windblade, one of the Lady Transformers, who is a jet, and she fights with dual swords. And I like people that fight with dual energy swords. I just like laser swords. So that is Rainbow Dash and Windblade. I don't know what all these powers do because they have some mechanics that are specific to this game, and I don't know what they are yet, but this is the team up card for Rainbow Dash and Windblade. It's got some really cool some really cool action there. The back side of it is Rainbow Dash flying. This is Windblade in jet mode, which Windblade's jet mode is pretty sick. I do want to point out this is clearly a scaling a perspective thing. Windblade is obviously bigger than Rainbow Jack. If anybody's curious, or not Rainbow Dash, Rainbow Dash. If anybody's curious, Windblade is a big old jet. Which I'm a fan of this. What do you guys think?
I think it's awesome. This whole thing's going to be awesome. I'm so excited to see these cards.
Speaking of awesome things, you and I talked about this a little bit before the show, Amanda. This is like the obvious one, which is Twilight Sparkle teamed up with Optimus Prime. This is one of those, and this is a football reference, everybody, so bear with me. Sometimes you just got to run what's blocked for you. This is the play design. You're going to put Twilight Sparkle and Optimus Prime is the obvious choice. You got to do it right. And honestly, I think this is pretty cool. Twilight Sparkle just chilling on top of a transformed Optimus Prime with a comet in the background. I think that's sick.
I think
it's great. I'm a fan. And then the flipped version is right here, the two of them getting into battle. I mean, it's Optimus Prime. It's weird that he doesn't have his gun and everybody else has weapons. Well, spoilers, I guess. Everybody else has weapons. But whatever, he doesn't need a gun because Twilight Sparkle's doing her Alicorn magic stuff. Next, Fluttershy and Soundwave.
Oh my gosh.
This is my favorite one because both of them have pets. Because they both love animals, you know? Like, I didn't think that Fluttershy and Ravage and Ratbat and Laserbeak was going to be, like, the thing. But here we are. It doesn't make sense until it does, is this card right here. And now this is important to note. Soundwave used to be a tape deck. But the thing is, no one knows what a tape deck is anymore that is under our age. So, like, if they made him a tape deck, kids would be very confused. So now he's a Jeep with a rocket launcher. And it's different, but whatever, it's fine. And Fluttershy is very afraid of the rocket launcher. But Soundwave is loyal to the end, and I think that's the other piece. is, because she's the loyalty one, right? No, loyalty's Applejack. Which one's loyalty Fluttershy? Which one's Fluttershy?
Kindness.
Oh, she's kind of. I don't exactly interpret Soundwave as very kind, but he did rescue Megatron during the 86 movie, so I'll give him that. Really, this is about the pets. Fluttershy is very afraid of this rocket launcher, and I think that's fair. I would be afraid of the rocket launcher, too. Next is Applejack and Wild Wheel. Now, Wild Wheel is one of the Stunticons, to my understanding. Now, the thing about Wild Wheel, Linda, because I know you're not the biggest Transformers fan on Earth, I think you've recognized... Have you recognized most of the Transformers so far?
No.
Wait, you didn't know... I mean, you know Optimus Prime.
I knew Optimus.
Okay, okay.
But I didn't know... I knew that one.
Okay, all right, okay. So the thing about Wild Wheel is Wild Wheel's got like the Clint Eastwood thing going on. So Wild Wheel's kind of like a cowboy. So as we look in the next card, Wild Wheel has like a cowboy hat and like got the poncho thing going. And, you know, so he gets to wear a matching hat with Applejack. And they do some cool lasso stuff. I think this is, Wild Wheel is a bad guy, though. It sounds to me like they're kind of eschewing the Autobot-Decepticon rivalry to save, you know, the Pony Land. It's got to be, I don't know. I mean, the Decepticons must want to say, I don't know. I think that we're just, I'm overthinking it, but here we are. So that's Applejack and Wild Wheel. Next, Pinkie Pie and Gage. Now, here's the thing about Gage. I don't know who Gage is. I know almost every Transformer. I know a lot of them. I don't know who Gage is. However.
I don't know either.
However, Gage is just a silly little guy. And, like,
we do love silly little guys.
We like silly little guys. And he's smiling, he's happy, and Pinkie Pie is riding him into battle, and I am here for it. You know what? I'm going to look up who Gage is. Transformers Gage. Gage is one of the youngest Transformers. Still got a lot of growing to do. Oh, before she can be a fully fit. Wow, so I'm misgendering the Transformer. My bad, everybody. She's RC's mentee. So RC teaches this person.
I love that.
Okay.
RC's
so,
my girl.
And RC and Gage is, this is why I don't know who Gage is. Gage is from the IDW comic continuity. That is why I don't know who this person is. But you know what? Gage, she teaming up with Pinkie Pie, I'm all in. Next is Rarity and RC. This is the another one of the obvious choices. Rarity is my favorite pony. Everybody knows that.
Mine too.
And RC is from is the original girl Transformer from the 1986 cartoon.
My
favorite card in this whole set. It actually, wait, no, this is not yet. But this is Rarity sitting on her shoulder and RC ready to like hecka punch a guy. We're not
RC
quite,
and Alita One, they're my girls.
We're going to get to another one. So Spike, the little dinosaur guy, yeah, he's hanging out with Grimlock. You know who Grimlock is, Linda.
Yes.
Okay, good. So there we go.
I know the major ones.
All right, so you know what I said about you got to be able to run what you were what was blocked for you? You just did that. You ran what was blocked for you, and I'm very happy. That's good enough for me. Grimlock's the giant dinosaur, and he's hanging out with Spike. And this is Spike standing on Grimlock's really cool head. I am a huge fan of Grimlock's robot form head. It looks really cool, and it looks better with a little cute dragon on it. Because everything looks better with a cute dragon on it.
I agree.
So now they have a bunch of action cards, which I'm going to skip through because I want to get to the one that is Rarity and RC. Because this is, it goes hard, everybody, okay? So we're just going to skip forward. It's, you know, friendship is superior. Is a reference. You know, Born Ready, it's fine. You know, doing some lasso stuff, it's great. Doing some kicks, that's great. Breathing Fire is awesome. This is Rarity ready to wreck someone's face while RC shoots a pistol over her head.
Legitimately wreck somebody's face.
Wow. RC is shooting a Glock. A giant Transformer Glock over Rarity's head. And Rarity, I don't, like, let's just zoom in here. Like, Rarity is going hard right here. Like, she is ready to, like, someone knocked over a rack of clothes in her workshop. Someone is not sharing. And she is just very upset. And RC is down to just shoot a guy. As she does, by the way, RC is not a pacifist. So, and I'm stoked for all of this. I think this is such a cool, like, all these crossovers are so great. I can't wait for the G.I. Joe crossover with ponies. This has precedent because there are actually comics of this. But yeah, thank you for, yeah, there are comics of this. So thank you for indulging me, everyone who is watching. As soon as I got that email, I was like, nope, we're going through with the cards on the stream. And I'm very excited. And then I clicked through all of them and I saw the RC one and I was like, nope, we got to zoom in on that because it could be framed. Like if I had that as like, that would be like my phone background if I had it without the, without all the stuff. So I mean, I'm obviously buying this. Are you guys going to play it with me?
Oh yeah. 300,000%, right? Buddy.
You got to help me build it, but I'll play.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the good news is it's not like Lorcana where you got to build decks. This is a deck builder. So we know how those go. We're all going to start with our very basic decks. And then you get to recruit your Transformers friends. And if you don't know who they are, it's cool. I'll tell you. It's fine. So last thing, and I know I've been doing a lot of talking, but that was Transformers and that's kind of my thing. But I do want to talk. Games Fest Opening Night Live was today.
It was.
And they, Jeff Keighley loves him some guns. There was a lot of Call of Duty. There was a lot of other shooters, but some news snuck out. And I think that we can all agree that at least I'm excited about some of it. Three big announcements for EFG land. The first one, Tekken 8 is coming. Officially January 26th of 2024. Linda, I don't know if you know, but I was my dorm's champion in Tekken 3 back in college. And you actually know what that building is. And you know who I beat in the finals?
Who?
Your friend Jason.
Nice.
The fun fact about this, Amanda, is that Linda and I I was neighbors with one of her friends from college. Literally, we shared a wall. And this was a super awesome musical genius who happened to be visually impaired significantly.
Okay.
And so, like, to the point where, like, he would just sit in the room, in his room in the dark because he didn't need lights and would just play the most beautiful music. Okay. Amazing on the piano. And Linda was over there all the time. All the time.
There'd be a whole gaggle of us going over to sing.
Exactly. It was like music. Linda and I did not know each other at the time.
Okay.
Until we talked. So we found out like years later that we spent significant hours within like 15 feet of each other. Obviously there was a brick wall, but like hours of time within like feet of each other and just had no idea. And the key is he is visually impaired and was playing in a Tekken tournament in our dorm and it to the finals.
That stuns me because of his level of sight, which is
nil.
Like he can't distinguish light and dark.
Yeah. In fairness to him, he was smashing buttons. He was not some kind of Tekken prodigy, but he was in the finals with me, and it was awesome. Then a bunch of people got mad because I didn't let him win. And I was like, listen, I wasn't going to let nobody win. He would have been mad if I let him win. So Tekken 8, January 26, 2024. Sega announces Sonic Superstars. It's coming October 17th, 2023. I quietly think this looks like a better Sonic game than a lot of the other ones. What do you think, Amanda? Am I being too kind?
I don't know.
Is the year speaking through me? Like, this just, I'm just so excited about everything else that it's just channeling it. This is my problem with Sonic games. Sonic games are you're supposed to go fast, and the levels stop you from going fast.
Yeah. It's a it's like consistently disappointing how hard you hit the skill ceiling very quickly. Because you're like, oh, I can't. Oh, okay. So go fast. Can't go fast. But I need to go. But also, why are you punishing me for going, okay, going too fast now? And it's just a constant, like, seesaw. And it's sometimes that kind of friction and tension in game design is really cool. But I've never managed to latch onto it with Sonic. Like, I've just never been able to get into it. I don't know. Maybe it was because I was a Nintendo kid.
I mean, I think that was part of it. And I just never, maybe I just don't know the language. But this one just looks different to me. Looks different.
It
I'm excited.
Look different.
And it's October 17th, which means it's like a month away. So, Linda, you might be hearing me sing a different tune. I've been talking crap about Sonic for a decade now. On podcast, talking crap for a while. I might have to eat my words. Maybe. I hope it is. Wouldn't it be great if a good Sonic game came out this year?
That would be pretty incredible.
With that said, Sonic All-Stars, or Sonic Mania, rather, is on the EFG Essentials. Like, I recognize that it has a place in this world. And lastly, Marvel Snap is on Steam now. So it's not just a mobile game. Now, if you really want to obsess over your superhero card game, you can do it on Steam. Which actually is kind of cool. I'm going to play it.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see if the boys are interested in that for Steam.
Yeah, I mean, it's a free-to-play game, I know plenty of folks that are really into it. Our friend Jason has been helping him through his surgery recovery. Other than those three announcements, Headshot Central, top to bottom, which is great for them. I'm excited for all the people that like Headshot Central, not for us.
All right.
Pretty much.
We did it, guys.
We did. That was a lot to get through.
We made it through.
Very successfully.
Yeah, you know, this is such a great year. This is such a great year. And you know what? This was such a great show. I want to thank everybody for watching. And thank everyone for listening. I hope you enjoyed listening and watching as much as we enjoyed recording. Because that sets the bar pretty high. So we're going to be back next week with another episode of Coils of Destiny. We took a week off because we had a whole bunch of people that were all over the place. We had a heat wave taking out air conditioning. We had people traveling. It was a whole thing. We're going to be coming back for episode 11. You guys are going to finally leave that little town and go back on the road. And I wonder if the road will be bumpy or not. We're just going to have to find out next week. So, everybody, I hope you have a great night. We will talk to you soon. And until next time, don't forget to get your family game on. Bye.
Bye.